Well, you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight in our Bible study, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you need a handout, would you raise your hand, please? We have a handout and an outline for the Bible study and then prayer requests. We got Ms. Ashley here. Anybody else need a handout or prayer guide sheet? All right. Appreciate that. And then find your place in 2 Corinthians. All right. 2 Corinthians. I don't want to take too much time. I don't want to read the whole passage just for the sake of time. But the context here is Paul bringing up the purpose, really, of the law and the blessing of grace and how the Spirit of God is now working in what we would call through the new covenant. As opposed to the old covenant in the Old Testament, we are now under the new covenant, and that is the context of chapter 3 here as he speaks about it. As, for instance, you'll notice there in verse number 5, he talks about not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Notice verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now again, we've talked about that through Romans. The law does not bring life. All right? The law, it shows us our need of life. It shows us our need of life. The law is beautiful, as we'll see here in the passage. The law is holy. The law is good. But the law cannot bring life. And it has a purpose to bring us, to show us the life we need. And that is found in Jesus Christ. Notice with me verse 7. He actually says, he calls it the ministration of death. Written and engraven in stones. So you ever thought about the law being the ministry of death? It does. It shows us that we are indeed, we fall short. And we violate that, which brings death. But written and engraven in stones was glorious. See, I mean, that's a, it's a positive and accurate adjective describing the law there. It was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory has to be done away. Let me pause there. This is going to be in the context of our challenge tonight when we go to verse 18, but I wanted to just lay a little bit of groundwork. It's speaking in the context. We don't have time to go there, but if you go back to the book of Numbers and 33, chapter 33, it gives the account where Moses was up on the mount with God getting the Ten Commandments. And the glory of God was upon him. In fact, where he had to veil his face. Because of that, when he would come down and speak to the children of Israel to give the things that God had told him. And so he would veil that because, as you'll, it was interesting, it would, the glory would begin to fade. It would begin to fade as he talked with them, and he didn't want them to see that, so he would veil his face, and then he would go back, and the glory would basically reappear, would repower, if you will, the glory upon him from the Lord, from beholding the Lord. But so Paul is making a point here that we're going to see here in just a moment, that now that was the old covenant, but in the new covenant, as God's people, we're going to be able to behold the glory of God to a certain degree continuously, where it will not fade. The glory of God will not fade. In fact, this is what I'm going for tonight. The glory is able to grow in our lives. And it doesn't come by the law. The law shows us that we need life. And we find life, what Paul's going to say, by beholding Jesus in this book. And so let's look together tonight in our passage, verse 18. Let's start with verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, here we go, this is our text tonight, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory, there's our glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's ask the Spirit of God to lead us tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the Word of God, and I just want to thank you for the Wednesday night crowd. Lord, thank you for, Lord, them just being here. I pray that they would be strengthened, be with those that wanted to be here but were, by providence, were hindered. I pray you just encourage them and help us tonight to just really be focused upon you. And then, Lord, would you be with us as we go to our prayer time? We want it to be meaningful tonight, and we want it to be effective, because we know, Lord, that there is sweet, omnipotent power in prayer. What a blessing. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Reflecting the glory of God is the title of this evening's message. That's what we want to do. That's what we're called to do. And that's what we can do by the Spirit of God's help and the Word of God in our lives. The question tonight that I need to ask myself, and I'll ask you, is what kind of reflection are you? Because what we are going to learn tonight is that Paul says when you and I will look to the Word, we are to behold the glory of the Lord. And it should shine upon us. The reflection of the Lord, the glory of the Lord should shine and light us up. In fact, we got a perfect illustration. I know it's not full moon, but it's getting close. It's super bright here recently. And that's a illustration of that moon doesn't have any glory itself. What we see when we see that moon, we see the glory of the sun. It's a reflection. And it is beautiful. Folks, that's me and you. As God's children, as we behold the Lord Jesus and His Word, and we love Him more and more, and we grow in our intimacy with Him, and our walk with Him, our communion with Him, the glory grows upon us. Does it ever fade? Well, yes, it does when sin comes into our lives, but thank God we can confess and be cleansed and keep moving forward. But let's just look. I want to break apart this verse a little bit, just unpack it. We're just going to go down the line here. First we see, but we all. That's encouraging to all of us here. If you're a believer, this includes you. All believers, not just preachers, not just missionaries, not just Sunday school teachers. It's for every single child of God that we all are able to have this great privilege under the new covenant to behold the glory of Jesus. Now notice the next part of our verse. It says, but we all, but notice, with open face. That basically goes back to remember what Moses had. He had a veil upon his face. Well, in the new covenant, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. We can talk to the Lord and behold the glory of God, and the veil is not needed because the glory is not going to fade. It's going to increase in your life, in my life, as we grow in grace. And it should not be a discouragement to anybody around us. It should not be, in theory. It should truly grow. We all, with an unveiled face, Paul invites every Christian to this intimacy with God. This relationship that has transforming power. And it's not just the privilege of a few Christians. It belongs to us all to have an unveiled face. But notice this next phrase of the verse, beholding as in a glass. As I mentioned here, it's It's like a reflection from a mirror. Now, they didn't have the mirrors we had that we have today. I don't believe they did. From what I understand, I know that they the mirrors they had were just a little bit faded. But what they did, they would polish metal so well that it would give a pretty good, a decent reflection. And for you to be able to, I guess the ladies could do some amount of makeup. I don't know. The guys could comb their hair to some degree. I don't know. But they could have it enough to see themselves to some degree. By the way, aren't you grateful for good mirrors these days? You all look so nice out here tonight. I'm sure it's because you stood in front of a mirror at some point today and fixed yourself up a little bit. And I think that's always a good idea, because when you look in a mirror, you get to see what's really there. Amen. And sometimes it scares us, I know. And but nevertheless, this is speaking of the idea of when they would polish this metal and beholding the glory of the Lord, as we're going to see here, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, that helps us to keep things in balance. Because here's the truth. None of us have seen the true glory of the Lord yet. We're going to see it. But there is a bit of a fade now, because we still have a sin nature and we still live in a corrupt world, and we're not able to see God in His full glory. Now, if I go to heaven today, I don't know if I will. I could. You could. God could just call us right now in the rapture. We'll get to see Him. And notice the verse I gave here. 1 John 3:2. It says, it's in your notes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," that's the rapture, "we shall be like" what? "Him," and then notice the bold, "for we shall see Him" what? "As He is, in His full glory." Wow. Can we just pause and think about that a minute tonight? The day that we get to behold the glory of Jesus. Wow. And the encouraging part of this passage is that we can get to see that glory increasing even here on earth. We won't see it in its fullest extent as we will one day. But here's the thing. The glory of God can grow stronger in your life and my life as we get to know Him better through His Word and the Spirit of God teaching us. That is the glory of the Lord. That number 4 in your notes. That is when we talk about the glory of the Lord. This is where the Word of God reveals His glory. And I like what A.T. Robertson's word picture said about this. He said, "The point Paul is making is that we shall not lose the glory as Moses did. But that is true if we keep on beholding or keep on reflecting." So the point is, again, Moses, the glory faded from him, but it doesn't have to fade from you and me. Does it? Yes. But maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you feel like the glory has faded. Well, I want to just tell you tonight that you know the way back. It's getting back into the Word and beholding Him. And letting that Word through the Spirit of God teach you and get you back to reflecting the glory of Jesus. So we see here the glory gets better as we behold it continually. It doesn't fade. That old song by Charles Gabriel, I don't know, some of you may be familiar with it, but he says, "Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. Oh, that will be glory. Yes, glory for me." You know, that glory is something that we should long for every day. Not for us to be glorified, but to behold His glory. Because it's going to be a reflection. One guy was read a testimony just, I think it was a couple days ago. A man was on his deathbed, and he had a friend, and the friend was trying to be an encouragement, but it was a little bit untimely, just a little bit just off cue, honestly, because he said to his friend, he said, "Boy, you're finally going to get to see the glory of Jesus." And something to that degree, I don't know if that was the exact words, but his friend saying there, he said, "Well, I'll just be honest with you. I've enjoyed beholding my Savior's glory now for 30 years, and I'm looking forward to doing it for an eternity." And the idea is folks, it is so encouraging tonight that we can be beholding the glory of our Lord even today. And notice what it produces. Number five, we see are changed. And that's a very important word. It's where we would get our word here, metamorphosis. It is a inward change. This is not being transfigured outwardly, but transformed inwardly. Now, it is the same word that was used with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But Jesus' outward form and the glory was shown on the outward. And what this is talking about here, same idea, but it's an inward transformation. It's a beautiful transformation. As you read the Word of God and yield to it, and I yield to it, it is doing a deep inward work. God doesn't reform us. God's Word transforms us. It brings new life into our lives. You know, I know that we sometimes try to improve the flesh. And when I say improve the flesh, I mean we try to go through certain formulas and to better ourselves. But honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to be hard on self-improvement here. We all need to grow, understand. But the best thing that the Christian can do is have an inward change that will produce an outward glory. Because that is what people want to see. People want to see a reflection of Jesus in our lives. I don't want people to see Brinson. I want people to see Jesus in me so that I can impact them for eternity. And that will happen, by the way. Do you see tonight how important it is for us to be in our Bibles? And not just reading for reading's sake. Reading with an open heart, with an open mind, asking the Holy Spirit to just do a metamorphosis in us daily. Do a transformation in my life daily. I know that God does that. He did it for you today if you opened up the book and read it willingly. He did it for you. If you did it yesterday, He did for you. And He will do it every day. Notice what it says here, number six. Goes to the next phrase. It says, "The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image." The same image. What is that? That same image is the glory of the Lord. The more and more in the image of Christ. You can mark it here in your Bibles or in your notes here. I'm not going to go to it, but Romans 8:29. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I put a little funny thing here. Have you ever heard about a husband and wife begin to look alike after they've been together for so long? Has anybody ever heard that? Y'all pray for Joanna. If that's true. I feel bad for her. But I've heard that before. And you know, I think I have met some couples that have been married maybe 60 years and started looking alike. And that's pretty amazing. Has anybody else ever heard that? Yeah. Does anybody else believe it? Yes. Okay. We got some believers here. Pray for these precious wives of our church, okay? You know, I say that because it's really silly, and it could be some truth to it. But I will say this. There is an infinite amount of truth in the fact that the more we spend with our Jesus, the more we look like Him. The more we spend with Him, the more we look like Him. That's the goal of our Christian life. from glory to glory. So what that means is, again, there's an increase, even when it's slight. You say, I don't see a lot of growth in my life. Listen, we got to be careful in how we measure Christian growth, because it can be just little growth. But I'm telling you, if you're seeking to just walk with the Lord and love Him, there is a transformation taking place. And it may not be drastic, and I know we want drastic change in our life and maybe in the life of others, but just let God do His work, because He's doing it, and we want to trust Him in that. It's from glory to glory. It doesn't have to be from a total backslidden state up to glory and go through that cycle all the time. It does happen. We get away from the Lord, but it can be just a slow, steady progress of growing in the Lord. And then lastly, as we close out, I put here in the end of the verse, it says, by the Spirit of the Lord. I've alluded already to the fact that it is the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this does speak of the deity of the Holy Spirit, by the way. He truly is God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And this is seeing Jesus in the Scriptures by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Just real quick here, I did put some questions down there for you to reflect on. But let me just ask tonight, just for practical purposes, what are some reasons we miss seeing the glory of the Lord? Someone? Anyone? What are some reasons we miss seeing the glory of the Lord? Okay. Consumed with self? Sure. Someone else? What's that? Looking in the wrong places. True. Very good. Someone else? In a hurry. That's right. Too hurried to behold the glory. So true. Someone else? I think many times unconfessed sin. You know, we come and try to read our Bibles without just being right with God. And just making sure, because he's ready to cleanse and forgive. We should take Him up on it, don't you think? And give us a renewing, a freshness. The psalmist even said that, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so there is that idea. Is there another reason someone thinks of tonight? What is the difference between being reformed and transformed? The difference between reformation and transformation. Anybody want to discuss that? Mention that? Yeah. Excellent. Old science teacher back here. Yes, sir. I couldn't have said it better. It's a change of nature. And not just a change of behavior. It's just we are a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And it's like we're learning more and more about that as we read the Word. And God's changing who we are. And it certainly is a miracle every day. It's the miracle of that word again. Transformation, metamorphosis is where we get the caterpillar, the butterfly, and watching that take place. Well, brethren, that's a picture of us. And every day as we're looking to the Lord, He's changing us into something more beautiful. And what a blessing. Who is responsible for transforming us? In our closing question, who's responsible? Holy Spirit. Okay. Anybody else? Well, yes, God. He is the Holy Spirit. We have a role. What is, we know the Holy Spirit's role is to teach us the Word of God, to draw us and to convict us. What is our role? Obey. It is to take heed. Not just to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers. And that is going to bring transformation. So it's leaving the Word of God with the desire and the decision, the choice to say, I'm going to obey this. And God's going to give us the help we need. Amen. So let's just behold the Lord. Let's just continue to behold Him in our daily lives and your daily devotions. And just be assured of this, brethren. You may not have a lightning bolt devotional every day. But understand this. Anytime you open up your Bible and you behold it with an open heart, you are being transformed. Because the Bible says you are. And we can trust that. You may not see it, but God sees it. And most likely, other people see it. And thank the Lord.